You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Prepare the Way. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
It happens every day. Innocent motorists have a terrible car accident. The car repair costs thousands of dollars, and the staggering hospital bill demands tens of thousands of dollars. And then when the victims call their insurance companies, they are stunned as they learn that they were only partially covered and that the bills will totally wipe out their life savings. For years, these people thought that they would be saved from a catastrophe. But then, to their horror, they find out only too late that all has been lost. In the Bible, Jesus described a similar situation when he explained what Judgment Day will be like. Many, many people, Jesus said, will be expecting to get into heaven on that last day. To their surprise, however, and to their horror, for them the gates of paradise will be closed and locked forever. This is a very sobering Bible teaching. Many people in our day in 1994 believe that they too will go to heaven, but the truth is that they will not be there. This also includes many today who are very, very religious. Now, to be sure, it is not my responsibility, and it is not your responsibility, to judge who will and who will not be going to heaven. This judgment is reserved for God alone, and only He is qualified. It is, however, my solemn responsibility, and it is your solemn responsibility, to find out how the final judgment will be determined. And it is also my solemn responsibility and yours that being fully informed from the Bible as to what will take place on Judgment Day, that we don't then end up in the wrong place, in hell instead of heaven. Directions to the right place are readily available. They are recorded in the Bible. And this information is not difficult to understand because, you see, Jesus did not speak about the final judgment in heavy or deep or, as we say, difficult theological terms. Anybody, yes, anyone, even individuals without a formal education can understand the final judgment as explained by Jesus because Jesus used very clear picture language to describe that final day. Jesus said that on that final day, the Son of Man will come in His glory, and all the angels will be with Him. He will then sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and then Jesus will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And then He, Jesus, will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, Jesus said, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me, Jesus said. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then those invited into heaven will answer Jesus and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then, at this point, Jesus will respond and say, Truly I say unto you, to the extent that you did those acts of love unto one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did this unto me. Now, my friend, here comes the shock or the surprise about what will surely happen at the final judgment as it was explained by Jesus. At that time, Jesus will also say to those on His left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, Jesus said, and you did not visit me. At these blunt words, of course, those people condemned to hell by their own activities will answer saying, but Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? At that sober and shocking moment, Jesus will then say unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, to the extent that you did not do it unto one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these then will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Oh, it is not surprising, my friends, that this section of the Bible is not read very often, even in the church. These words of Jesus are deeply disturbing. Even those of us who might consider ourselves quite religious are disturbed and probably even irritated by this teaching of our Lord. Indeed, it is true, as the Bible so clearly explains. We are saved by our faith. The Bible, however, also tells us faith, if it has no works of love, is dead. In the scriptures we read, what use is it? If a man says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothes and in need of daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warm and be filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for the body, of what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Advent means coming, and during Advent, we look forward to and prepare for the second coming of Christ, when he will judge the world. Advent is also that time of the year when we take a good look at ourselves and make a special examination of our lives. And when we do, what we so often see is not very encouraging. In fact, our self-centered lives are very often depressing. Advent, however, is also good news. Advent is that time of the year when we take a new look at our Lord Jesus and see once again how he helps us and gives us hope. God is the author of our faith, and a living faith is a faith that pleases God by serving men, a faith that pleases our Heavenly Father by serving our earthly brother. And so this same blessed faith prepares us for Christ's second coming and for that great day of judgment. Therefore, as we begin to prepare, especially during the Advent season, let's always remember that visiting the sick, visiting the elderly, and visiting those in prison is not something any of us is going to do naturally. Putting others first is totally against our sinful nature. And when we talk about life, we talk about ourselves first. The word I is the most used word in the English language. It is I this and I that, me this and me that, and when it comes to complaining, even we as adults are as bad or even worse than whining children. A recent survey revealed that in any given day in our society, 19% of us are complaining about a cold. 20% of us are complaining about a minor cut. 21% of us are complaining about constant tiredness. And in any given day, 25% complain about muscle aches, and another 25% complain about indigestion. 28% of our population complains that they are overweight. In fact, on the average, our population complains about some minor health problem once in every 3 days. Some of these complaints, of course, are serious, but most are chronic whining, a result of our sinful self-centeredness. Our sinful, ego-driven, self-centered flesh is so powerful that even we as Christians often find ourselves doing what the devil wants rather than what our Lord would have us do. The Apostle Paul said it well. Even when we are Christians, believers and followers of the Lord Jesus, even then, the good we would often like to do, we do not do. And that which we should not, that we do. The Apostle Paul then cried out, O wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body? This same spiritually newborn man, fortified then by faith in his blessed Savior, exclaimed, Oh, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul had the strength and the power to become the world's greatest missionary. And it is through this same strength and this same blessed Lord, crucified and raised from the dead on the third day, that you also will be given the strength to look outside of yourself and to serve others first. And then as a result of all of this, the Lord Jesus Christ on that final day will not say to you, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire." Instead, Jesus with eyes of love will say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom." Every time you and I look at the Lord Jesus Christ with eyes of faith, then God's almighty power of the resurrection begins to work miraculously within us. And then we, like a tree, begin to bear fruits of love. Instead of always being self-centered in Christ, we then turn outward, and our desire begins to seek and to help those who are less fortunate than we are. The Apostle Paul talks about this special and almighty blessing, a special power that all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ receive. This blessing is called the power of the resurrection. And in his letter to the believers in Philippi, the Apostle Paul says that he wants nothing more than to experience the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, St. Paul writes, "The passing greatness of the power of Christ's resurrection is at work in all those who believe." In Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul again says that he joyfully strives to serve the Lord according to the power of the resurrection, which is working in a mighty way within him. Oh, there must be thousands upon thousands of people today who would like to have the conviction and the courage of St. Paul. And if you are one of those, you too, my friend, can possess this power by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This great blessing of God will certainly come unto you also when you listen and when you study and when you meditate upon God's life-giving word. The power of Christ's resurrection will then certainly begin to live within you. It grows from a tiny seed into a great tree of faith. And then, yes, then the power of these resurrection words will begin to bear fruit from you. And instead of forcing yourself to help others, you will miraculously and joyfully find yourself beginning to help those in need, to visit the sick, and maybe even go to some of the prisons in your area. All of this is a direct result of God's grace in Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection working within you and all believers. This resurrection power will then also prepare you for the great day of judgment. Your life will become busy serving others, so that, my friend, on that last day, Jesus will say to you, "Enter into the kingdom, thou good and faithful servant." And then when you respond, "But Lord, when did I serve you?" Jesus will say to you, with love and compassion, "Inasmuch as you have done this unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. Enter now into my kingdom, and be with me and my heavenly Father forever and forever." So then, my friend, these are days of Advent. During these days, we make a special examination. Yes, we consider very carefully the second coming of our Lord and his final judgment. And when we read the Bible and when we see what God will be expecting of us on that day, we are surely discouraged. God expects us to serve others first, and yet we often are willingly involved in a society that is self-serving, self-centered, self-fulfilling, and just plain selfish. Yet there is hope. This hope is in Christ crucified, and when you and I by faith turn our eyes away from ourselves, and when we focus upon our blessed Savior's bloody suffering, his cruel death, and his victorious resurrection, as our sins are forgiven, then something powerful happens within us. By his grace, God works a great miracle within our hearts, the miracle of believing in Jesus as our Savior, and a great change takes place within us. This gospel of God in our hearts begins to produce fruits of love, and all of this prepares you and me for that final day. O Lord, we pray, turn the eyes of all those who are listening today away from themselves and focus their faith upon Jesus. Give these people faith and assure all listeners at this moment that this faith will bear fruit and prepare them for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious day of judgment. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.